Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 13, The Ecstatic Dancing of the Lord at Rath Yatra. Page 8. Srila Prabhupada. The mystery of the Lord's activities is described by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Lord Jagannath was astonished to see the transcendental dancing and chanting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he stopped his car just to see the dancing. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then danced in such a mystical way that he pleased Lord Jagannath. The seer and the dancer were one and the same person, but the Lord, being one and many at the same time, was exhibiting the variegatedness of his pastimes. This is the meaning beyond his mysterious exhibition. By the mercy, so the Lord is one, but he performs so many different pastimes, and his pastimes are so wonderful, they're even amazing to himself, right? Because the Lord is amazing. Right? So the point is, he's amazing because he's even amazing to himself, and let alone the living entities. And so the Lord interacts with the living entities. It's wonderful. You know, even when he expands and then he interacts with himself, it's still wonderful. The point is Krishna is the central point of all relationships.
Now, it is quite wonderful that Krishna is having a relation with his manifestation or incarnation.
Yes.
To Krishna speaking to you.
Yes, but technically everything is Krishna, but at the same time as here is then in the same mood. Like that. So So that aspect where you have everything is Krishna, but there's variegatedness. Like the jivas are all coming from Krishna, they're one of his energies. The external energy, internal, marginal energy, internal, external, and marginal. Everything fits within this in the way of his energies. These are the broadest categories. And then they're of course going to be amazed by his pastimes, right? Even though they're part and parcel of him, they're still going to be amazed. But and then when he expands as Vishnu Tattva, still these Vishnu Tattva expansions, these Svamsas, they are still amazed.
Yes.
You know, it's just like you have the pastime of Krishna and Dwarka. And the floor is really highly polished. He could see himself in the floor and he was so amazed by it. Yes. He was so attracted. So it's not a false ego like us. We're amazed by the body, but we're not that. But we're identifying with it, so it just entangles us. But it's Krishna's energy. Right? So that's the whole point. We're attracted by the energy because it's Krishna. Right? And because that way the energy is attracted by other energies, you know, so if they see that in context of Krishna, then everything's fine. But if they don't, then they become entangled. You know, and all the energies see everything connected to Krishna. So the point is Krishna's pastimes are wonderful. You know, they're special. And so it's so special that Lord Jagannath stops to see, you know, our Lord Chaitanya dancing. Because when you're moving, so many things are going on. But when he stops, then he can just watch. Because no one's getting away, no one's yelling and screaming and stuff. Yes? Okay. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king could understand how the two of them were enjoying each other's activities. Another mysterious exhibition was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's simultaneous presence in 7 groups. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king could understand that also. So you can see how he's in all these different groups,
yes.
And you can see how he's interacting with himself.
Yes. Yes.
2.13.61. Although the king had been refused an interview, he was indirectly bestowed causeless mercy. Who can understand the internal potency of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Srila Prabhupada. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was playing the part of a world teacher, he did not agree to see the king because the king is a mundane person interested in money and women. Indeed, the very word king suggests one who is always surrounded by money and women. As a sannyasi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was afraid of both money and women. The very word king is repugnant to one who is in the renounced order of life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to see the king, but indirectly, by the Lord's causeless mercy, the king was able to understand the Lord's mysterious activities. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities were exhibited sometimes to reveal him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and sometimes to show him as a devotee. Both kinds of activities are mysterious and appreciated only by pure devotees. And so, because of his desires, each a potency, then the other potencies, they carry out. Right, because it's his desire, then we see is that all this is revealed because of his devotion. Then the Sandini potency reveals all this because he is acting in devotion with the Samvit and Vladini. Therefore, Sandini is by the Lord's desire revealing all these things. So that's the point: is Krishna reveals himself. You can't know him; he's beyond everything. There's a little bit of logic we can use to work with whatever we have here, what we can see with the external energy. And then, even more is when we have the Vedic literatures to give some direction. And we'll understand a bit more, but we can only understand the situational or the mechanical.
Yes.
And even that will be limited, because we're working with limited facilities. Our particular intelligence of mind is limited. It's part of a greater substance, but it's not the whole substance. And even that, all the intelligence and all the mind that's within the Mahatattva, that still only is within the Mahatattva. And Vishnu's outside of that, and the spiritual world's outside of that. Brahman is outside of that. So it's limited what you can understand. Right, because within you can understand the 24 elements, and mechanics up to a point, but still how they all come from Krishna, that aspect, and why that's all happening, that's only by the Lord's revelation. So that's why without approaching the bona fide spiritual master, you can't actually know. And if you know Krishna, you know everything. Right? Because if you know Krishna, he is everything, that will therefore you know everything. There's always the snarky question about, so can you tell me, how many bricks in that wall? Like that, But Prabhupada's point was, how many bricks in an illusion? Like that. Because the point is you're thinking it's the brick wall and it's the number of bricks and this and that. But this is made of Krishna's potency. So therefore, you know what the wall is. How it's, why it's there. Why it's standing. Why there is a concept of wall. Right? Does that make sense?
Then someone asked, how many bricks in the Empire State Building?
Yes.
How many drops of oil in the ocean?
Yeah, it's just like... He said, the whole point is it doesn't matter. These aren't the questions. That's not the, everything, so you know all the facts and figures. No, you know everything. It means you know why everything's there. Like the scientists, they know so many facts and figures, but what are they trying to find out? Right? Where it all comes from. What's the origin of everything? Right? Because they have the Big Bang, but they're still not satisfied because the point is, where did the Big Bang go? Who flipped the switch or lit the fuse? Or, where did the ingredients come from? Even if you have a bang, you have to have something there. It doesn't come out of nothing. And even if it came out of nothing, how does nothing produce this? So they come up to a point and then that's it. They get to the last... layer of the universe and they can't get beyond it. So that's the point is they can't understand space. They can't understand time. Right? They can just work with earth, water, fire and air. And various breakdowns, analyze it smaller and smaller. And so that's the difficulty, is that Krishna reveals himself because you don't have the capacity to know what's beyond. We can say, no, I know, But no, you don't. You know, so that's there. You know, and that's the technically that's the beginning of Western philosophy. Is this point is that the absolute is beyond what you know. You have to be shown by somebody. That was Socrates' philosophy. People didn't like it. They killed him for it. Because it's kind of, no, we're smart. We can figure everything out. Who killed them? Professionals. Just for the record. You know, all the lawyers, this, that, all the guys that were in power. They're the ones that got rid of them. Because then there's an absolute truth. And they're not the absolute, because in their mind, no, what we say is happening. Therefore, they were pushing the vox populi. Whatever the maximum amount of people say, then that's truth, rather than no, there's already a truth. It means, in other words, there's an absolute truth, you bring yourself in line with that absolute truth. And they're saying, no, we the people, we make the absolute truth. And it's not even the people, it's that we say it and the people have to follow it, otherwise they have problems. So in other words, they, that oligarchy, they make the truth. And so that's the beginning of Western philosophy, is that. Because these other guys aren't remembered as philosophers. Can we name any names? No. So that's the point, is that, you know, he's there. You know, Plato was a little bit more careful, so he didn't end up having, you know, getting killed. And then his disciple was a gross materialist. Aristotle, you know, he was just a materialist. So then, that's the. So even though Socrates is the one who starts the philosophical chain there, they'll take Aristotle as the father of modern philosophy, because modern philosophy is just materialism. They're not trying to get to the absolute. They talk like they are, but they're not. So that's the difficulty. Because it's something there, because they demand that, no, through my intelligence, through my senses, I can know. And so the absolute, you can't know. So therefore, then they come up with other philosophies. Right? Yeah. So the whole point is here, by Krishna's grace, by his desire, then Maharaj Pratyaprudra then knows. Otherwise, there's no question that, oh no, I've been here, I did this, therefore, no. That doesn't matter to Krishna. You know, he's floating unlimited universes, and then so what did we do? Right? But if it's something done in devotion, no matter how small it is, that catches Krishna's attention. Yes?
So, but it seems that Maharaj Pratyaprudra, he had a special mercy.
Yeah, special mercy. But the point is mercy is mercy. It's always special. Everybody has special. Why aren't we in the material world? Why aren't we thinking that, that the modern standards of social value and that is important? That's Krishna's mercy. That we've come in contact with the bona fide devotees. That's Krishna's mercy. That we've come in contact with the holy name. That's Krishna's mercy. That we see it as a value and try to practice it in our life. That's a mercy. They were sitting in Mayapur. That's mercy. So that's the whole point, is that so much mercy is there, but we may not notice it. Right? You know, because being Satchitananda, the living entity, then will look at, see things from that perspective. But because he's seeing it without Krishna, then you get the Ananda Brahma and the Vaikuntha Brahma. Is that the illusion that everything's eternal and full of happiness? When here, that's why the Bhagavatam's Dukkalayam Ashashvatam, it's temporary, it's full of misery. That's one of the first main points that are made, because we're under the illusion that no, it's wonderful, it's great, it's fabulous. So that's the difficulty. So then Krishna's establishing that no, it's not from here. So we'll relate to that. So why aren't we relating? Why do we have faith in something that's beyond? Right? Because it's not sentiment, because it's something factually experienced. So that's all Krishna's mercy. So he gets, you know, of mercy, then he may get some special mercy, but all devotees have mercy. You know, but to understand this level, that's the way it's probably said, is by because the pure are appreciated only by pure devotees.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, because the point is, it's not the dancing. It's the attitude that's being expressed through the dancing. Right? So then, yes, because of that attitude, that'll bring some special and unique things to what he's doing. But it's the attitude that's there, because that's very much part of the, as you know, from the theater aspects of the Abhiman, the whole thing of the particular dancing, the attitude, the dancing, the facial expressions, you know, all the different movements, all these things are there. And so that'll be, but the point is it's to affect a particular emotion. And so then when you're dealing on the transcendental platform, then it affects transcendental emotion. So much of the time you see is, even we talk about elevated aspects of Krishna's pastimes, we still only talk about the situational aspect. Right? And, you know, and that's what we're talking about. That's controlled by Sandini. So now we see here is that situation is there. That Maharaj Prataparudra is seeing this. But now, because of the devotion, then Sandini reveals these internal aspects. Right? Does that make sense? Because otherwise, all the things even people talk about, I'll show you this God or this or that, it's all just situation. You know, they push on your eyes, and if you push long enough, you start to see lights and all kinds of weird things. Or, you know, different, they all have their, you know, cheating ways. And so, it'll just be a situation. And I remember one sitting in somebody's house in Madras, and that would have been 74, I think, something. Got invited for lunch, and they also had some other sadhu there. You know, it would have been a South Indian, but he was a North Indian sadhu. Because in South, they expect you to be sampradayak, and you can't just be a general sadhu. You have to be a madhva, a shri or a shankarite. This guy, you know, but in the north, you can just be a sadhu. It doesn't matter. You can change your, you know, what your philosophy every day. It doesn't matter, you know. So a lot of the South Indians go, but he happened to be down there. And he was, I remember we were sitting there, and before the lunch, and he was talking about how Sai Baba was such a, you know how great, how he has to be God and this and that. And, you know, he said that he was there, and he asked him, "Do you want anything?" Or, "You want this and that?" And so then he manifests these. He said, this wasn't. He manifests brand new
gold chain.
Notes. I think in those days you had the 1,000 rupee notes.
Yes.
That was before they canceled those, so that was a lot of money then. I mean, in those days, life membership was 1,000 rupees, so it was a big deal. So 1,000 rupee notes, he meant completely fresh, like out of the mint, hadn't been touched, nothing bent, nothing, you know, no crease, nothing. So he's saying, yes, he's got to be God, you know, or like Prabhu saying, you know, vibhuti, some ash, or, you know, if you were, you know, really was impressed, a gold chain or something like this. But it's all situational. It's like, you know, it's just, oh, he did this, that makes him God. Right? And so it's not actually coming to the point of Bhagavan. You know, and even that, the small things that, okay, but where did the gold come from? That Krishna manifested, and not just the one chain. All the minds on here, and all the ones, there's in the heavenly planets, there's a river. Like that, oh no, I think it's even on one of these islands.
Jambudvip.
It's on our island. That it has the jumbo tree, but the jumbo tree is a mango tree? I always thought it was a jumrule tree. But in any case, there's a tree, there's a monster tree that has mangoes the size like elephants. No skin, no seed. When they get ripe, they just fall off. Because they're so big, they just smush, and it just makes a river of mango juice. That's flowing, and the banks of the river are gold. Mm-hmm. And so the demigods, whenever they need gold, you know, you want to make a new chariot or some more, some furniture, you just come there and collect the gold and take it back and make it. So it's like you don't have to save up and buy and all that. You know, so you know, I mean, that, how much gold is that? And Krishna's making it out of mangoes. You know. So these guys are, you know, really small time. And they're just using yogic tricks and stuff. Sometimes it's sleight of hand. Sometimes guys actually have some ability. They can, you know, some prapti. But not very much. They can only pull from a few feet away. Like they keep things under their chair. They can pull it from there.
He had the magic. He had the lingam coming out of his mouth.
Oh.
He used the lingam.
Yeah, you know, they have all kinds of things. But then you also have these, who is that, Jay? Who's the big magician, the Sarkar?
P.C.
Sarkar. He went there, and he went to see him. They didn't know who he was. And whatever he did it back. And he got thrown out. He got tossed right out. You know, so he was saying, it's just all, it's just, he's just using sleight of hand. You know, so he's saying it's not even, he's got some mystic cities, but you know, like that. So whatever it is, it's just, the point is that it's just situational. You can do those things, then people are impressed. And that's there. So you're not even getting into necessarily the activities, the great, you know, that you hear about, you know, the great, great epics and all that about, you know, the attitude, what they went through. It's not as much the situations as their attitude. You know, like the Iliad, the Odyssey, Beowulf, I think. What's that one? There's a Middle Eastern one? What's that one called? Galgamush? No, not. Yeah, I can't remember. There's one like that from the Middle East. I think it's Persian. And so you have all these that they're all about, you know, something there, you know, something amazing and the attitude and that, you know, just in the West. And then in India, Mahabharata, Ramayana, the situations are amazing, but the whole point is, you know, Ram's determination, Yudhishthira Maharaj's determination, Arjuna's determination, the qualities manifest, that's the thing. And then in situations, then it sticks. You know. Yeah. So the point is by the Lord's mercy, then it can see. So any devotee, they're all, it's all mercy. So just even those, one's very, very happy, you know, that these things are there, but one feels, you know, unqualified, that one's not taking, you know, proper focus and attention on Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Huh? King Prataparudra has gradually, you know, shown that his love for Lord Chaitanya is just unconditional.
Mm.
And therefore gradually he gets to be closer to him.
Mm.
You spoke about revelation. The Lord reveals to his devotee.
Mm.
The Lord will reveal what the Lord wants the devotee to know and to see.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting up to the pastime now where King Prataparudra will go and speak the Gopi Gita to Lord Chaitanya.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this the other day, but I was wondering, how did he manage to qualify to enter those pastimes and bring about the symptoms of ecstasy in Lord Chaitanya? In other words, what Krishna must have revealed to him those pastimes.
Being
good at reciting the verses of the Bible.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he didn't major in speech and drama.
That's right.
I mean, well, you see, as you take it back, it all goes back to devotees. And so then the devotees themselves were the ones that were, you know, trying to connect with Krishna. And then how he would respond, then Lord Chaitanya would then, you know, be more inclined. So by the grace of the devotees, then the Lord, you know, would be giving him, like you said, step by step, this mercy. But to read the Gita Govinda, that was I think Sarup Damodar's, was it his suggestion or somebody's suggestion? He suggested, yes. So it's through the devotees, then you're able to serve Krishna, because serving directly won't have very much taste for Krishna. But when you're serving under the devotees, that has taste, right? Because it's not all how you say, Krishna will reciprocate with the devotee as he surrenders. So in that way, it's all equal. But you can't say the service rendered by one personality is equal to another. Like, you know, and so that's a very important thing. You know, all the gopis love Krishna, but they all understand Radharani loves Krishna more. Therefore, it all works together. Like that. But otherwise, you put it all equal. That's what then, why the Rasa dance stopped. Because they all thought that they were all the most, you know, fortunate girls, the most perfect girls, like this. And so then the Rasa dance stopped, because Krishna wasn't getting any taste from this, because they were getting into about themselves and this and that. And so it wasn't about, that's the whole thing, is that's why there's always the aspect of trying to get the mercy, but one has to be able to balance between getting the mercy and pleasing Krishna. Right? So many times you see people will do stuff to get the mercy that disturbs everybody else. But in their mind, no, I got the mercy, so it was good. You know, but it's not about Krishna. It's connected to Krishna. So of course, there's going to be some special development, of course, because you're doing something in connection with Krishna. But you'll get purified. But the point is in that way you're getting closer. But to get prema, you can't annoy the devotees like that. You know. Does that make sense? You know, people do all kinds of stuff. So that's the thing, is that you have to see is that it's working under the devotees. Because for Krishna, the devotees are already there. Everybody else is their assistants. That's the way it is. The main people, the astasaki are there. You know, it's not that when we go back to Godhead, then there'll be the navasakis. You know, it says, what do you mean? I got here first. So the Dasamasakis, you know, until it keeps going to the 108 Shakis. Yeah, like this, and everybody's arguing over like this and that. And Krishna's off with the 8 Shakis. So that's the whole thing, is we take it as that it's a position, it's a situation. Because position and situation, these are all sandini. But bhakti is samvit and ladini. I'm doing an activity to please Krishna. It's subtle, but it's very important. It's the difference between getting purified and coming to perfection, and getting from perfection to prema. It's that much. So you have to learn, because you can only learn prema from the devotees. You can't learn it on your own, because what's the point? Then what's your prema? What's it connected to? What does it mean? You have a relationship to Krishna. You walk into the pastimes. Who are you? Because the point is, since it's personal, we're taking it, oh no, it's like mystical, so I just show up there and everything's fabulous. But the point is it brudges is devotees, they're individuals, they're persons, it's a society, it's a community. So who are you? Where do you come from? Who are your parents? And it's kind of, oh, what do we know this? I'm just here to serve Krishna, and, you know, like that. But how? You know, they don't know who you are. I mean, even Lord Shiva showed up there, you know, looking the way he looks, and Mother Yashoda wouldn't let him in the house. He came to see Krishna, and she wouldn't let him in. You know, he's just too scary. You're not going to scare my kid. You know? Like that. So it's like, if Shiva's not getting in, we're not getting in. You can't just walk in. That's the Sahaja's idea. We'll just walk in. So that's one of the things. We think we're God, or we think we're the devotee. But no, we're servants of Krishna as servants of the devotees.
Most probably you'll be taught as some kamsa spy,
Kamsa spy, yeah. Kamsa spies. You know, they don't know. Because it's just about pure love for Krishna. So anybody who comes along and it's all situational like that, they don't belong in Braj. You know? Like that. You know, you could maybe fit into the heavenly planets. Like that. That doesn't really need to have much of who's from where and everything like that. That you don't know anybody really cares about. You know, we just know there's Indra. Which Indra? There's 14 Indras in one day of Brahma. 14. You know, so all these stories we have of Indra, that's the position of Indra, but it's not necessarily the same one. He means the same jiva. Yeah. So it becomes very important to appreciate that pure devotional service, because that's the whole thing here. Both kinds of activities are mysterious and appreciated only by pure devotees. Yeah. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities were exhibited sometimes to reveal him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and sometimes to show him as a devotee. So the pure devotees, they appreciate both. They can appreciate how these things, by the grace of the Lord. So that becomes the aspect that's there, is that one has to, one has to appreciate.
Introduction, Prabhupada's introduction of Brahma Samhita, you know, in the record. Mm-hmm. And he talks about Brahma's austerities, and then he said he was a cantor with full knowledge,
yes,
of the spiritual world in Vrindavan.
Right.
But not everything was revealed to him.
No. By what he knew there, it's showing him that he had the revelation, you know, that he knew about the context of it, and those kind of aspects. And he knew what kind of basically generic relationship he had with Krishna, but not specifics. So that puts him at a particular position. You know, and then from there it develops. But that's the whole point, is that it's unlimited, that then things are revealed gradually as are important for your development. And they go up to a point. It's like the Braj Basis we see in the beginning of the pastimes, they don't know he's God. And they couldn't even care less. So even things come up that show that he is God, they don't care. They just think something, the wind blew the tree over, or something like that, a storm came up, and then, you know, Krishna's lost and stuff. They don't care. And then even when someone comes and points out that he's God, he's this, he's that, and it's kind of like, oh, okay, nice. You know, they don't, you know, it just still makes no difference. So by the time you see at the end of the 10th canto, when they're going to Kurukshetra, you know, to meet Krishna, the solar eclipse, and all the Dwarkavasis are there. They all talk. They stay there for that big Vasudev's yajna, and that he's just being glorified as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and what he does and this and that. And they're just sitting there and go, "Wow, you know, our boy is, you know, doing okay." So it doesn't change their affection at all for him. You know, like the mother has affection for the child, and he grows up and he does best in the school. You know, he goes on to get this and he moves up and he gets into very high position. It doesn't change her affection at all. It's just nice. Okay, things are going nice for him. You know. But their point is all this pomp, all this and formality, it's nice, but we'd rather, you know, go back to Vrindavan and interact there. That's the... with that. Yeah, so it's the point is it's not sentimental. It's rati, it's attraction. You know, so that's the position. It's rati. 2.13.62.65. When the two great personalities, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Kashi Mishra, saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's causeless mercy upon the king, they were astonished. Because he hasn't even actually met him and interacted, but because of getting the blessings of the devotees and all that, therefore then he's getting all this mercy. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes for some time in this way. He personally sang and introduced his personal associates to dance. According to his need, the Lord sometimes exhibited one form and sometimes many. This was being executed by his internal potency. Right? So sometimes he was there just in one form, dancing, and sometimes he was in all the kirtan groups at once. Indeed, the personality of Godhead forgot himself in the course of his transcendental pastimes. But his internal potency, Lila Shakti, knowing the intentions of the Lord, made all arrangements. So he's just absorbed in the mood, and to match that mood, then the Lila Shakti, she takes care. We see his Lila, what was it, this, the other words for Lila, was it?
Nila.
Yeah, Nila, but there was also Lila, there was also, of the eight Shaktis, there were the six opulences, and then there was Bhu, and then this other, another name like this, yeah, whatever. So she takes care of all how all these situations are arranged, right? Because situations have to be arranged, so that's the point. She can reveal it as material. She can reveal it as spiritual, because all these energies have their original eternal aspects, and then they have their material manifestations. So things are going on here. You know, you wonder why it is that, you know, the cliche, the whoever it is, you know, I say the, I think it's Wile E. Coyote, right? He comes up to the railroad track, right? He looks down one way into the distance until the tracks disappear. He looks the other way until it disappears. Nothing's moving. As soon as he just steps onto the track, the train comes by and he's, you know, yeah, like that. So that's always going on, no matter what's happening. Somebody has to arrange this stuff. So whatever goes on, you know, you drop that brick, you know, your foot was somewhere else, but you've just somehow or another moved it to that exact spot. I remember once walking, you know, and seeing, I had hit my toe on a brick, and it had, you know how it peels back some of the skin, just a little bit. And I'm walking, and I see a stick in front. And the stick is laying down. The stick is exactly at the height of that cut on my toe. And the stick is pointed. And the stick isn't loose. It's somehow or another wedged into the ground. I see it right there. And I think, I should be careful. I shouldn't hit that. I don't want to hit my toe on that. Something happens, and I don't, and bang, I hit my toe. Like that. So somebody's arranging that. No, somebody has to arrange that. And they're doing that with each and every living entity. Put such unlimited management they're doing. So, I mean, these girls are good. So that has to be there. But then within that, then the devotees are performing activities, you know, to please Krishna. And then the internal potency then is bringing about the Lord's pleasure from that interaction. So we see is that's the most important. So the jnana and kriya aspects, so the situation, the knowledge, the skill, the endeavor, all these things are just to support Krishna's pleasure. So that's why, yes, devotees, you see, Vaishnavas have, what qualification? But how much are we talking about Pratyaparudra's management? I mean, look at this guy. He can sit there and watch this, and so many times he's watching and this and that. What managers today could take that much time off and watch? They don't have time. Why not? They're not as good a managers as he was. Yudhishthira Maharaj, how much time he has? What is going through that? What, monkeys?
Somebody
Huh?
Speak some duties.
What is he doing?
Cleaning of the place.
Oh, okay. Because a few days ago, all the monkeys came through.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yes. Yeah, so the whole point is these things are important only in as much as they are used to serve Krishna. So, yes, you see the 64 arts that Radharani and all the other, they're teaching these and learning these and using them in Krishna's service. And so because of that, then there's the, all this, these wonderful pastimes go on. But it's not because it's about the knowledge and skills. It's about pleasing Krishna with them. So the emphasis is on the use of them in Krishna's service for his pleasure. And the other things you learn, that's just that. That, of course, you have to do. So that's why in the Vedic thing, it's all these different arts and all that are learned by association. That's the whole point, is that you can make schools of them, but they can't teach you. You know, like some of the practical ones, the music or this or that, they're teaching you. But these things that, you know, we're talking about in management and this and that, what school teaches you management? You learn things. If you have the skill, you can go out and then apply it. But you're not practically managing. You understand? Music, you're practically doing it. Dance, you're doing it. Law, you're doing. They set up courtroom situations. They bring in real judges, real lawyers, and you have to argue your case in front of them. And they deal with you like a lawyer. And then, you know, at some point they'll stop and explain what you should do and this and that. But it's, you know, like that. And in traditional thing is business is learned at the business. You know, the boy is there, he learns. He sweeps, he does all the things, he does all, you know, he moves up through every position there is in the company until he's on the top. Right? And so that's how it's learned. So it's by association these things are learned. Right? Shastra is learned from a teacher. Does that make sense? You know, you learn certain things from teachers. But the thing is then when you get into these practical things, that's then it has to be practically applied. So nowadays, there's so much talk about knowledge and skills, but it's not practically applied. They talk about how someone can apply it. They give examples, you know, from the karmis and all that. But the point is that where's the realness of it? And it's brought elevated so much when it's actually, no, how is it being used to please Krishna? How is that brought out? That's the hard part. But they're taking it, no, that's automatic. The real thing is this. So if I have this knowledge and skills, I'll automatically please Krishna. No. You have the attitude to please Krishna. That's when you please. Whether you have these skills or not. You have the ability to learn these, great. Learn them and use them for Krishna. But to think that because you're in a classroom that you're going to be able to practically use them, no, everyone has a nature. You know what I'm saying? Everyone could go to business school, and only someone who has a business nature can use it as business. Everybody else will work for that business name. You know, because you went to business doesn't mean you can do business. Never. Any businessman knows this. And every MBA Wallen knows he works for someone. He doesn't run a business. Why would you spend that much, if you knew business, why would you be spending that much money and that much time? You know how, you know, 18 months of the course, and that's an M. So that means you had to go through 3 years. So that means, why would you do 5 years of work and all that money when you could have invested all that and already made your money? It's not business. Businessmen would not do that. You know what I'm saying? That's not how they work. They wouldn't waste the time like that. But if, you know, father's already running a business, they want to know what the modern market is, then they go and do the degree. But they're learning is what's the modern field. They're not learning business. They can't teach business. I wonder what they're doing.
But Maharaj, the difficulty is sometimes to look for a good situation.
Yes.
And not to look for developing a relation with Krishna, affection for Krishna. Sometimes we stop in the situation.
Yes. Well, it's just like this. let us say you have a family person. You know, things are going very nice in the family, good affections and everything. So when he's thinking about business, you know, about a job or this or that, will he not be considering the context of the family? How much of time it takes to commute and all that, how much you'll get paid, you know, what kind of thing it'll do, how many hours, you know, what are his, you know, what facilities he has, you know, in the weekends or holidays or, you know, things like that. He'll be considering all these things. If he's got affection for the family. If he doesn't have affection, he'll just look at what's going to give the best amount of money, no matter how difficult it is. But you're going, so that's the whole point, is as the devotee develops that affection for Krishna, then he sees it in context. So we're not saying that some if you're not seeing it how it pleases Krishna at every moment, then it's not devotion. What we're saying is we have to understand that's the position we're trying to attain. So we should understand that has to be cultivated by always trying to, you know, prayers to Krishna, associating with those who are absorbed in Krishna and this and that. Then at the same time, because of nature, you want to do a certain service for Krishna, you see I could do, and so by some education and this and that, you can enhance your service. Why not? You know, why wouldn't you be the best? Arjuna was the best for Krishna, you know, so that's not a problem. But to think that because I become expert at this, that's what's going to please Krishna, it's kind of like, no, I don't think so. Like that. So we have to know what pleases Krishna. It's just like, let's say, I have a solid gold plate. And so then my idea is that if I have a solid gold plate, it doesn't matter what I put on top of the plate, Krishna's going to be happy. No, it's only something cooked with devotion will please Krishna. Right? And so you try to do your best. And then you put it on, and we put it on your best plate. Yeah, that's nice. So you try to get a nice plate for Krishna. That's great. You know, it all makes it nicer. It all enhances. Right? But the point is you can't think that because I have the gold plate, now everything's perfect. Or because I have this, and now everything will go nice. No, it's that these things are there. You're doing these things to please Krishna. Therefore, then slowly the heart gets purified. We get attracted to Krishna. And so then that way we get closer to Krishna. Because otherwise, you see all these great personalities. Maharaj Yudhishthir, then, you know, at the end of the pastimes, where is he? Right? Is he sitting on the throne? Yeah, he went to the Himalayas. And this is after, you know, 14 years in the forest, and then, you know, all that, the battle of Kurukshetra, and all that. And then when it's time, when Parikit is older, then they head for the forest. He's installed as king, they leave for the forest. Why? Because Krishna's pastimes were up. So then, for them, being able to be emperor of the world and control that is only of value because it's for Krishna's pastime. Once Krishna's left, then they're ready to go.
They understand the primary thing.
Yes, yes.
So, not being attached to the secondary.
Yes. So the secondary, how nicely you can use it and all that, that's really, really good. But the point is we should understand it's really good in that you can use it nicely for Krishna. But that's the only reason it's good. If it's not used for Krishna, it has zero value. You know, when it mentions about, you know, the dog, the dog eater, the elephant, you know, the Brahmin, that's what it means, that because it's all Krishna's energy. So its only value is how to use it in Krishna's service. So the Brahmin is going to do one thing for Krishna. The elephant's going to do something else for Krishna, right? The dog's going to do something else again for Krishna. And the dog eater, he's going to sit down and chant Hare Krishna like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's how to use in Krishna's service. And so, yes, they all have their... They can all be engaged in Krishna's service, but there's a difference in how they engage. It's not exactly the same. You can't say it's all the same. So we have to know what's one and what's different. Because simultaneously one and different, so you have to know what is one and what is different. So if you take what's different as one, you know, oh no, we're all the same, we can all do the same thing. That's, then you don't understand Krishna's energy. Then you don't understand variety. Why is there variety then? Why did Krishna create variety? Does that make sense? Yeah. So if he created all this variety and we're not going to acknowledge it, then what's the point? So that's just how it works. So we have to be able to appreciate that it's all Krishna. That means everything has its connection to Krishna, but you have to know, since it's coming from, how it works. There's a difference between your foot and your hand, what it does. For Krishna, it's all transcendental. It can do the work of either one, but you see in the pastimes, with his foot, he does foot stuff, and with his hand, he does hand stuff. It means when he's doing his Bhagavan activities. When he does Paramatma activities, then, you know, how you say it's like that, what is it, the washerman? He used his hand like a sword, just cut his head off with his hand. You know, he was just there and he just whacked, you know, his head goes flying. You know, so like that. So he can do whatever he wants, but the point is the taste in relationships comes in, you know, just these nice, simple things. You know, it's like you're saying, you know, I think it's Srivast Thakur's the discussion with Srup Damodar Goswami. You know, it's just, oh, Vrindavan is just some, you know, some sticks, some trees, some cows, some land, like that. And, you know, but Vaikuntha, oh, we have, you know, all this and that, you know. They're having fun, like Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu. And so then Srup Damodar makes the point is, yes, it's just trees, but they're kalpavriksha trees. You could get anything you want, but they just want the little fruit and flowers. And the Sarabi cows, they can manifest anything you want, but they just take a little milk. So that's it, because they're so absorbed in Krishna, so satisfied in that absorption in Krishna, then nothing else is that important. So that's the whole thing, is that bhav. It's not about being the big guy. It's about being the servant. We're the servant of the servants of the big guys. So that's what we're saying. These positions are there. And then we are servants of in line. Two 13:68-69. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in great jubilation and inundated all the people with waves of ecstatic love. Thus, Lord Jagannath mounted his car, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inspired all his devotees to dance in front of it. Verses 70-209. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dance with Lord Jagannath. 2:13:70-113. Is it the whole thing? Oh no, this goes to 209. Okay. Now please hear about Lord Jagannath going to the Gundicha temple while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced before the Rath car. So that was talking about the Sankirtan and all that, and what Maharaj Prataparudra could see. Right? So now they'll bring about another aspect. So things may be common points said again, but now it'll be from some other angle. You know, so we saw that how he sometimes manifests as a devotee, sometimes as the Supreme Lord, and how Prataparudra Maharaj could see that, and how the great devotees, you know, the Lord's associates, then they were impressed that how is the king able to appreciate this? Now please hear about Lord Jagannath going to the Gundicha temple while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced before the Rath cart. The Lord performed Sankirtana for some time and through his own endeavor inspired all the devotees to dance. Right, yeah, so he puts in that effort too. So it's a relationship, right? When the Lord himself wanted to dance, all seven groups combined together, right? The Lord's devotees, including Srivas, Ramai, Srivas's brother, also known as Sri Rama. Oh, okay. Sri Rama, Ramai. Okay. Raghu, Govinda. Raghu would be what? Raghunath. Because that's the thing is you have in these, especially in the Prakrits, you have, or even in the Sanskrit, you have these short names like that. But there's certain ways you do, you like that.
Is it like nickname?
Yeah, like nicknames. But it's the same. Raghunath becomes Raghu.
Yes.
Sri Rama becomes Ramai.
Yes.
You know, or Nityananda becomes Nitai, or Gadadhar becomes Gadai.
Yes.
You know, like that. So there's standard ways it's done. Govinda, Mukunda, Haridas, Govinda Anandana, Madhava, and Govinda. All together, all combined together, right? Because they were leading all the different parties and singing and stuff like that. And so then they combined together. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired to jump high while dancing, he placed these nine people in the charge of Srup Damodar. These devotees, Srup Damodar and devotees in his charge, sang along with the Lord, and they also ran beside him. All the other groups of men also sang. Right, so then they'll be, you know, within that, because within their group, they're singing and others are assisting.
Yes.
So now, if the Lord is singing, then these nine, then they'll respond so that everybody else knows what's going on. Or they'll sing along with the Lord, or like this. So the idea is that when you have a smaller group, you have less devotees, and so everything's smaller. But when you have the bigger group, then you have to have more people that are doing the, you know, leading the singing or yeah, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Offering obeisances to the Lord with folded hands, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised his face towards Lord Jagannath and prayed as follows. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Krishna, who is the worshipable deity for all Brahminical men, and who is the well-wisher of cows and Brahmins, and who is always benefiting the whole world. I offer my repeated obeisances to the personality of Godhead known as Krishna and Govinda. Footnote 2. This is a quotation from the Vishnu Purana, 1965. This would be the Namo Brahmani Devaya, no? So what we see is that aspect is there.
Hmm?
Yeah, so the point is he's not saying, oh, well, this is Dwarka Krishna, and this is that, and he's an opulence, so, you know, I'm only interested in Praja Krishna. So that's for sadhakas who haven't quite understood what's going on yet. We see here from Lord Chaitanya in his example is that it's Krishna. He may be dressed up as a king, but it's still Krishna. You know, it's just like, let's say you have, you know, a close family member, a friend, and then let's say they're doing a drama and they're dressed up on this, you know, on the stage doing their part and all that. Then you're happy in that part. It's just to you, it's that person doing this part. You know. Like that, you know, you don't say, oh, I'm not interested, and like, you know, what mother's going to say, oh, I'm not interested in my kid when he's playing a role that's not him and me, you know, like that, you know, so it sounds really, oh, yeah, no, only like this, and everyone else go, oh, wow, you know, like this, but it's very narrow, stunted kind of attraction. All glories unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as the Son of Devaki. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as known as the light of the dynasty of Rishni. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose bodily luster is like that of a new cloud. Oh, this is the, what is it? Devaki Janmavado Madhavapuri, that one. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose bodily luster is like that of a new cloud, and whose body is as soft as a lotus flower. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared on this planet to deliver the world from the burden of demons, and who can offer liberation to everyone. Footnote 3. This is a verse from the Mukunda Mala, verse 3. Lord Sri Krishna, who is known as Jananivasa, the ultimate resort of all living entities, and who is also known as Devaki Nandan or Jashoda Nandan, the son of Devaki and Jashoda. He is the guide of the Yadu dynasty. Oh, this is the one I was talking about. Well, maybe the other one's the Ganesham. Oh, what's that? Okay, I can't remember. Lord Sri Krishna is known as Jananivasa. Okay. He is the guide of the Yadu dynasty, and with his mighty arms, he kills everything inauspicious, as well as every man who is inauspicious, impious. By his presence, he destroys all things inauspicious for all living entities, moving and inert. His blissful, smiling face always increases the lusty desires of the gopis of Vrindavan. May he be all glorious and happy. Footnote 4. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:90-48. I am not a Brahmana, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, nor a Shudra, nor am I a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi. I identify myself only as the servant of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. He is like an ocean of nectar, and he is the cause of universal transcendental bliss. He is always existing in brilliance. Footnote 5. This is verse 74 from the Padyavali, an anthology of verses compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami. Having recited all these verses from scripture, the Lord again offered his obeisances, and all the devotees with folded hand also offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and jumped high, roaring like thunder and moving in a circle like a wheel, he appeared like a circling firebrand. Wherever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stepped while dancing, the whole earth with its hills and seas appeared to tilt. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, he displayed various blissful transcendental changes in his body. Sometimes he appeared as though stunned. Sometimes the hairs of his body stood on end. Sometimes he perspired, cried, trembled, and changed colors. Oh, I see. That's why it says it's 70 to 113. Right? Sometimes he exhibited symptoms of helplessness, pride, exuberance, and humility. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell down with a crash while dancing, he would roll on the ground. At such times it appeared that a golden mountain was rolling on the ground. Nityananda Prabhu would stretch out his two hands and try to catch the Lord when he was running here and there. Dwaita Acharya would walk behind the Lord and loudly chant, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, again and again. Just to check the crowds from coming too near the Lord, the devotees formed three circles. The first circle was guided by Nityananda Prabhu, who is Balaram himself, the possessor of great strength. All the devotees headed by Kashishwar and Govinda linked hands and formed a second circle around the Lord. Maharaj Prataparudra and his personal assistants formed a third circle around the two inner circles just to check the crowds from coming too near. With his hands on the shoulders of Hari Chandana, King Prataparudra could see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing, and the king felt great ecstasy. While the king beheld the dancing, Srivas Thakur, standing in front of him, became ecstatic as he saw the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Seeing Srivas Thakur standing before the king, Hari Chandana touched Srivas with his hand and requested him to step aside. Absorbed in watching Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance, Srivas Thakur could not understand why he was being touched and pushed. After he was pushed again and again, he became angry. Srivas Thakur slapped Hari Chandana to stop him from pushing him. In turn, this made Hari Chandana angry. As the angered Hari Chandana was about to speak to Srivas Thakur, Prataparudra Maharaj personally stopped him. King Prataparudra said, "You are very fortunate, for you have been graced by the touch of Srivas Thakur." "I am not so fortunate. You should feel obliged to him." Everyone was astonished by the dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and even Lord Jagannath became extremely happy to see him. The car came to a complete standstill and remained immobile while Lord Jagannath, with unblinking eyes, watched the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The goddess of fortune, Subhadra, and Lord Balaram both felt great happiness and ecstasy within their hearts. Indeed, they were seen smiling at the dancing. Because I think they stop now and again altogether. Means they start together, and then there's so much going on. Then they come out one by one, but there's a place where they stop, and then there's a bhog offering and all that. So that's coming up. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and jumped high, eight wonderful transformations indicative of divine ecstasy were seen in his body. All these symptoms were visible simultaneously. His skin erupted with goosebump pimples, and the hairs of his body stood on end. His body resembled the shimuli, silk cotton tree, all covered with thorns. You ever seen those trees? No? Huh? Anyone knows those trees? No? Where is it in there? I think if there's a gate down here, the back of the old Gurukul. I think if you go in there and keep going till you pass the Goshala wall, then there used to be one there, whether it's still there, or maybe it's to the left, but we had one in here. They're all over the place. They grow up very straight, and the branches come out just all together at one point. Then it goes straight, and more branches come out. And then in season, they make these big red flowers, but the petals are not thin like regular flowers. They're very fat and puffy. So once they fall, you collect those and dry those, and if you whack them with a stick, they'll break open, and you have that super fine, like silk cotton. So they make pillows out of that. Very, very, the best pillows are made from that. But the thing about it is that whole trunk, and I even think the branches, they're covered with monster, like this big thorns. They're that big and, like, you know, base is that fat and it comes up. So it's not, you don't climb the tree and pick the flowers. You wait till they fall off on their own. But when they do, there's tons of them on the ground. It means it produces a huge amount of flowers. So like that, it means there's nothing that doesn't have a thorn coming out of it. You know, it means there'll be a thorn, and next to that will be the next thorn, and next to that will be the next. That's all there is. So he's just saying his body looks like that. Just everything's erupted, everything's standing up. Right? Indeed, the people became afraid just to see his teeth chatter, and they even thought that his teeth would fall out. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's whole body flowed with perspiration, and at the same time oozed blood. He made the sounds jaga, gaga, jaga, gaga, in a voice choked with ecstasy. Footnote 6. As mentioned in Antya Lila chapter 10, this is something that Lord Chaitanya would chant sometimes when he was in ecstasy. It refers to the line of an Orissan poem, Jaga Mohana Pari Mundao Yao, which means, let my head fall at the feet of Jagannath in the Kirtan hall known as Jagmohana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would request Rup Damodar to sing this line, and then the Lord, overwhelmed with ecstasy, would chant Jaja Gaga Pari Mumu. So that would be all he chanted, that whole thing. Jagmohana Pari Munda Yao. So you get Jaja Gaga Pari Mumu. Tears came forcefully from the eyes of the Lord as if from a syringe, and all the people surrounding him became wet. Everyone saw the complexion of his body change from white to pink, so his luster resembled that of a mallika flower. Sometimes he appeared stunned, and sometimes he would roll on the ground. Indeed, sometimes his legs and hand became as hard as dry wood, and he did not move. When the Lord fell to the ground, sometimes his breathing almost stopped. When the devotees saw this, their lives also became very feeble. Water flowed from his eyes and sometimes through his nostrils, and foam fell from his mouth. These flowings appeared to be torrents of nectar descending from the moon. The foam that fell from the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taken and drunk by Subhananda, because he was very fortunate and expert in relishing the mellow of ecstatic love of Krishna. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his devastating dance for some time, his mind entered into a mood of ecstatic love. After abandoning the devastating dance, the Lord ordered Srup Damodar to sing. Understanding his mind, Srup Damodar began to sing as follows. Now I have gained the Lord of my life, in the absence of whom I was being burned by Cupid and was withering away. Srila Prabhupada, this song refers to Srimati Radharani's meeting with Krishna at the holy place of Kurukshetra, where Lord Sri Krishna and his brother and sister came to visit when there was a solar eclipse. It is a song of separation from Krishna. When Radharani met Krishna at Kurukshetra, she remembered his intimate association in Vrindavan. She thought, now I have gained the Lord of my life. In his absence, I was being burned by the arrow of Cupid, and thus I was withering away. Now I have my life again. Right? So the point is Brajbasis go there, and so who are they seeing? They're seeing this Krishna, you know, this arranged, you know, this appearance means, how you say, manifestation, like this. But the point is for them, it's the same Krishna. So Krishna and Goloka is one person. It's just that you have the different flavors, how he deals in Vraja, how he deals in Dwarka, right, how he deals in Swetadweep, you know. So that means in Jagannath Puri and Chaitanya Lila. So Navadvipa pastimes are also known as Swetadvipa, right? Because they're all connected with Jagannath, because it's about that. He's come to taste the separation Radharani feels from Krishna. And so therefore the Jagannath aspect will be part of that. So it's all one place. It has different flavors, you know, but it's the same. It's, they're connected. You know, just like Indraprastha is connected to Hastinapur. You know, for those pastimes, Dwarka is also connected. You know, so all, they're all connected together. Dwarka, Indraprastha, Hastinapur, like this. So the same way the Navadvipa and Jagannath Puri are connected. You know, then Vrindavan with Mathura, like that. So. Yeah, so therefore, that's the whole point, is that in this, then the 2:3, 1:14, 1:19. When this refrain was loudly sung by Sarup Damodar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again began rhythmically dancing in transcendental bliss. The car of Lord Jagannath began to move slowly while the son of Mother Sakshi went ahead and danced in front. While dancing and singing, all the devotees in front of Jagannath kept their eyes on him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to the end of the procession with the Samkirtan performers. His eyes and mind fully absorbed in Lord Jagannath, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to play the drama of the song with his two arms. Right, because it's that all these songs, and they're reciting something, and so they can be acted out with a different gestures and all that is there. I've seen that sometimes. Is there'll be some, remember there was, I've seen it twice, there was be some girl had studied the Bharatanatyam and all that, and for some years they become very good at it and that, and then someone will mention a song like that, you know, yes, or sing the song, and hearing it, then they know all the things, what go with, what's the moods, what's that, because that's what they learn. And so then they dance out the whole song, you know. So like that, and Geet Govinda's danced out in for Lord Jagannath, and like this, then you know it'd be a very, very standard thing that these songs of the acharyas, then somebody would dance and show their pastimes.
While this is going on, I mean, it's a pretty crowded procession.
Yes.
A lot of people.
Yes.
And there are those who are close to the scene, but not even don't understand this.
No, but they understand something's going on.
It's like the dogs jumping, crashing into the ground.
No, it doesn't. That doesn't matter. It's those who appreciate, then they get the benefit, and those who don't, then you know they were there, and they'll get some benefit. You know, it's just like all those warriors on the Battle of Kurukshetra. They got benefit. So naturally, these people all get benefit. But those who appreciate more, then will get more benefit. You know, they'll get closer. It'll bring them closer to the Lord. So that's why it's told from this perspective. Probably the bigger crowd and what's happening, that Chaitanya Bhagavat will explain. You know? Because the point is, he's just bringing out details that weren't brought out in Chaitanya Bhagavat. You know, and a few things that they may be the same story, but he'll bring out another aspect, or, you know, there's some parts of the story that need to be told to even tell something different, and so he won't get into too much detail, because he'll say it's already in the Chaitanya Mangal, so... Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dramatically enacting the song. He would sometimes fall behind in the procession. At such times, Lord Jagannath would come to a standstill. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again went forward, Lord Jagannath's car would slowly start again. Thus, there was a sort of competition between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath in seeing who would lead. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strong that he made Lord Jagannath wait in his car. You know, so it's not like Jagannath keeps coming and he has to move, but no, when he'd move back this way, Jagannath would just stop. When he moved forward, then Jagannath would go. Srila Prabhupada. In his Anubhasya, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes the ecstasy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as follows. After giving up the company of the gopis in Vrindavan, Sri Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, engaged in his pastimes at Dwarka. When Krishna went to Dwarka, Kurukshetra, with his brother and sisters and others from Dwarka, he again met the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Bhava, Dyuti, Suvalita. That is Krishna himself assuming the part of Srimati Radharani in order to understand Krishna. Lord Jagannath Dev is Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Srimati Radharani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is leading Lord Jagannath towards the Gundicha temple, corresponding to Srimati Radharani's leading Krishna towards Vrindavan. Probably is. Gundicha temple is. Sri Kshetra, Jagannath Puri, was taken as the kingdom of Dwarka, the place where Krishna enjoys supreme opulence. But he was being led by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan, the simple village where all the inhabitants are filled with ecstasy of love for Krishna. Sri Kshetra is a place of Aishwarya Leela, just as Vrindavan is the place of Madhurya Leela. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is following at the rear of the Rath, indicated that Lord Jagannath, Krishna, was forgetting the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Although Krishna neglected the inhabitants of Vrindavan, he could not forget them. Thus, in his opulent Ratha Yatra, he was returning to Vrindavan. In the role of Srimati Radharani, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was examining whether the Lord still remembered the inhabitants of Vrindavan. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell behind the Rathkar, Jagannath Dev, Krishna himself, understood the mind of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Jagannath sometimes fell behind the dancing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to indicate to Srimati Radharani that he had not forgotten. Thus, Lord Jagannath would stop the march forward of the Rath and wait at a standstill. In this way, Lord Jagannath agreed that without the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, he could not feel satisfied. While Jagannath was thus waiting, Gaurasundara, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, immediately came forward to Krishna. At such times, Lord Jagannath would proceed ahead very slowly. These competitive exchanges were all part of the love affairs between Krishna and Srimati Radharani. In that competition between Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy for Jagannath and Jagannath's ecstasy for Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emerged successful.
Maharaj, the procession of the Ratha Yatra is Radharani bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. But we know that he went from Kurukshetra back to Dwarka, and from Dwarka to Vrindavan.
No, but that's just the external elements that are there. Is that we also know from the 10th canto that. Yes. That then to speak to Krishna privately, the gopis, and that then they took him, you know, to some side place or some side tent and spoke to him there. And even there were, I can't remember, it would have been a tent where all the ladies were and all that. So some of the, I think, Rohini and others were there, but then, you know, some stayed, but at some point they left like this. So the point is going to Vrindavan, because the point is the main thing, it's a mood. And so, you know, it's not a, it means it is a location, but it's not about the location. A location is manifest to so that kind of mood or service to Krishna, it has its best expression. So Vrindavan is, you know, like it said, you know, yam kama krodha sahaja pranayada kiti, that the devotees, what mood they have, that's the form that they take. So Mother Jashoda, because of her rati towards Krishna, therefore she has that form that perfectly matches that rati. So then the Vrindavan will take that. So as Krishna leaves and goes to Dwarka, then that mood there, then Dwarka manifests. Because you see Krishna's already there in that mood. And in Mathura, then you see something, but it doesn't have the same grandeur as that. So then Dwarka is manifest, and then they all go to Dwarka. You know, so it's a matter of mood. So when they all get together, then they are that. But the thing is the situation there at Kurukshetra, because that'll be connected with Dwarka. Then it won't quite have it's you're there with, but at the same time is it's not quite. The situation is not. So because of that, you can't manifest everything the way you would like. So then this is just that mood of taking there.
So do they bring Krishna with their mind?
The point is that he's going there, but at the same time is that maybe we may not be able to see it. Just because it's not prakat doesn't mean that that's what's not what's going on. You know, it's just like when Uddhava went to, was sent by Krishna with a message for the Brajbasis. Then when he went there, then he was seeing, when he came into Vrindavan and saw everything nice and festive and all that, he was seeing the apricot lila. He wasn't seeing the prakat lila. So basically, he didn't see the prakat lila. He only said the apricot. So he went there, and then, you know, there'd be the aspect where he'd meet Nanda and Yashoda, and because he's gone there with a message, then in that aspect, Krishna wasn't there. He's in Dwarka. And he's speaking to them, and their moods and ecstasies, they can see the love for them. But he didn't see the place. He didn't see the prakat place. He saw the apricot place. Because he just saw everything in its nice form and everything wonderful and decorative. Because otherwise, the prakat was no one's cooked since Krishna left. There's cobwebs. Nothing's happening. The place is just, you know, untended.
You're saying the entire time he spent 2 months in Vrindavan, it was just apricot.
That's what he was seeing. But at the same time, is there was the aspect of interacting with them because it was the prakat. So their separation, it was the prakat aspect, yes. But the situation around that he was seeing was aprakat, as explained by the acharyas. So because otherwise, then he might be too overwhelmed by it. So, you know, so he's seeing it's nice and it's like this. But his interactions with them, then they were dealing. And it's mentioned that both pastimes are going on simultaneously. So depending upon which one was appropriate for the moment, that's who Uddhava was dealing with. But it wasn't his arrangement. It was Yogamaya's arrangement. Because if he goes there and Krishna's here and what's going on, he just sees the path, that's going to throw him. And he's in, you know, then what's the meaning of being sent for a message? But at the same time, it's that. So it's said that both Nanda Babas are there at once, but they don't see each other.
Yes.
Like that. So then, because he's come with a message, he's talking to the Prakat Lila. You know, Nanda and Yashoda and Radharani and the Gopis. But the situation of Vrindavan, you know, it looks, you know, normal and auspicious like it is in the apricot.
So you're saying Yogamaya did the same as Kurukshetra? There was the prakat and the apricot?
Not external
situation?
Not necessarily. There is because that's the whole point of Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra is, it means you're separated from somebody and they're not there. Then that gives a certain feeling. But if they're there, but you can't interact with them, that's even greater. So Kurukshetra is the greatest separation. Like that. It's taken to its fullest. And so therefore then when Radharani meets Krishna, then you say, she says, I have now, you know, she's met that Krishna. You are the same Krishna. Because so many make a very big emphasis on, no, Krishna and Radha stay there, these are expanded, this and that. But nice, great. Where's the taste?
It's the same room.
They're just offering you a chunk of wood. The point is Radharani is there, Krishna's there, same time as, yeah, the apricot lila is going on. But that's not our business. So coming there, and then there's that taste that she's seeing Krishna. She says that, I'm the same Radha, you're the same Krishna. And if somebody wants to say no, like this, they can go say no, like out on the railroad track or something, you know, something out there with the wily coyote. You know, it's just like, what do we care? You know, it's like that. You know, why would you bring that up? Why would you bring up a Sandini aspect when we're talking about Ladini here? It's like it's like, what's going on? You know, so the whole point is that it's the taste is there, and that things are there is that they're together, but they can't interact away. They can't do rasa lila and everything there. So that's why they want to take him back to Vrindavan. So then this whole thing of that mood of taking back to Vrindavan It doesn't matter if he physically goes there or not, but Radharani and the gopis want to take him back to Vrindavan. I've heard that there are pastimes where he does go, but I think they're from other Puranas and things like that. But the point is that that attitude and that thing of her, she wanting to take him, him wanting to go and all that, that's what matters. That's the taste. That's the rasa. Whether physically it happened or not, it's just like he goes to, after the, killing Dantavakra, since that's close to Mathura. It'll be in Hastinapur around there. So then he pops over. And when he goes there, then he's there for 2 months. But when he leaves, there is no more Prakat Leela. Prakat Leela is done. It just disappeared. There's only Aprakat. So when you go there, it's just, you won't see. It's just Aprakat now. So that's the whole thing. These all things are all going on, and how it works between the prakat and aprakat. So we can't make too much distinction. Just like the Brahma Samhita, then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is pointing out that between the Goloka Vrindavan pastimes and the Boma Leela pastimes, the residents of Goloka don't make any distinction. Just one's higher and lower. But we as sadhakas, we love to make a distinction about it, and that this one is not as good as that one. But that's us as sadhakas. That's our foolishness, And so that's why they can't understand also the thing about the jiva and how they come here and this and that, because no, it's all about So one has to be very, very careful. Or Krishna is as Vishnu. It's the same Krishna. He's just taking that mood. The devotees there are dealing with him. That's how they want to serve him. And so then he reciprocates with them in that mood, in that form, in that flavor. And there's so many varieties and so many. So there's unlimited Vaikuntha planets in all the 24 Vishnus. So those are the main, but there's unlimited of the 24. So all these things are all going on nicely. And so it's the same Krishna. And so when the devotees come here, even they're working in the material world, they see it's the same Krishna who is his energies is doing everything around us that we see. And so all the different scriptural injunctions and everything like that is just how to deal with his energy, which is non-different from him. So if you want to please him, you use the injunctions to deal with the energy. What fool would throw out the injunctions given by the acharyas? We're not talking about other than that. And then make up their own and think that somehow or another that'll connect to Krishna. You have to be very, very foolish. You have to not understand what you're dealing with. It means you don't see this place as Krishna's. And you may say, oh, it's very, it's Kali Yuga, the modes of nature, but whose modes are they? Whose Kali Yuga is it? It's not ours, it's Krishna's. It's his potency. So therefore, yes, if these big cities are so powerful and make you forget Krishna, it's Krishna's power that's doing it. So that's why we have to surrender to Krishna. It's a big forest fire. The cowherd boys, get out there and get their sticks and, we'll take care of this. No, they just surrender to Krishna. So that's the thing. We surrender, and then it's like a calf's hoof print. And that's reality. Not, maybe this, that, but we're not, Then if we're not on that level, stop talking so big. Stop making up your own rules. That means you're even smaller. Even more you should follow what Prabhupada gives, what everybody's giving. The traditions and this and that. So one has to know which direction to go. We surrender to Krishna, then we'll be working under the Vidya Shakti. Right? Because the Vidya Shakti, that's just simply creates that situation. Then we understand the Dham, and by the grace of by Nityananda Prabhu's grace, then we understand the Dham. We're freed from material desire. Then by the grace of the Goswamis, then you can understand Radha Krishna's pastimes. You won't understand by the internet, by political platitudes and these and all these kind of things. It means you can use different things in Krishna's service and situations, but one has to know that the reality is so far beyond this stuff. This is just like child's play. then we will appreciate, you know, what all the ecstasy that's going on, what happiness is here, what's going on here. We just see, okay, the cart's going, and that because they're doing the kirtan and Jagannath gets ahead, then he's behind. So then Jagannath stops and waits for the kirtan part to catch up. And when he gets ahead, then he starts again, and then, you know, like that. But he says, because Radharani's checking, does he remember us? Because otherwise he just keeps going, then, hey, what to do? Well, he stops, you know. So therefore then, you know, so in this competition, it says, in that competition between Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy for Jagannath as Radharani and Jagannath's ecstasy for Srimati Radharani, you know, as Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emerged successfully. So that's what's being tasted. That's what's being offered.
Yes.
You can get into the technical details, and that, and they have their place, you know, when these things come up in discussion. Like you see, the Roth and the Kirtan was described before, but it was described in the context of Maharaj Pratra Purudra's,
yes,
you know, ecstatic understanding. Now it's giving another aspect,
yes,
you know, about that lila between Lord Chaitanya and Jagannath. Like that. So that's the whole thing. That's what makes Chaitanya Charitamrita special, is that it's bringing out all these special flavors and these tastes of Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. And sometimes, you know, you see, as there's ones where he's establishing himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, he has four arms, and sometimes he's six arms, the Sadbuj, how he's, you know, all these different incarnations, the same. Sometimes it's Radha Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. You know, so different passages. One is as in Sringadev, I think. One is Varaha. I think it was in Sridhar's house. Picked up his water pot on his nose, you know, like that. And so all these things are there. And so this is what can be tasted. Otherwise, we can just know the pastime and, you know, the technical points and the names and the places. And because it's connected to the Lord, it's always going to be wonderful. But that's the whole point. That wonderfulness can get more and more and more. So, but we have to know the direction it goes. So these other things, yes, they're known nicely. Everybody's very expert at what they do. Everybody has great knowledge, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He's the best logician in India. There isn't anyone better like that. He is the man. You know, so that's the whole thing. Is that means, you know, he is so smart that they're, you know, like that. Just no one compares. But it's just mentioned that is there. But you just see how even that person can't know Krishna, but except by the mercy of the devotees. And then when he does, then what's important? So yes, it does help. It means Kashi Mishra is still doing stuff at the temple with the king. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is still doing stuff with the temple and all that. They, you know, everybody's still doing their jobs like that. And but at the same time, as they're able to be absorbed in Krishna and all that, and understand things, you know, what's actually important. So this thing where it's like we got to get into the knowledge and skills, but then what about the devotional taste? What about the association of the Vaishnavas? You know, and then if we're doing that, how much jiva doya is there? You know, so how much jiva doya, you know, Vaishnava sema nam ruchi is there? Because if you're so politically correct, you can't. How do you say Vaishnava seva? You know, how there'll be jiva doya? Because you can't. You're not dealing with jivas. You're dealing with bodies. You know, so we're having sharira. What do you call it? Sharira doya. Yeah. You know, kind of like. And so like that. So then these things, we get distracted. We have to be very, very careful. You know, because anything's connected, it's good. But the thing is then how much you're appreciating going more, then it'll be greater.
It seems like more and more, you know, in this past time, it is the attitude which is important. You know?
Yes, yes.
And sometimes the difficulty is we can follow for some minutes.
Yes, yes. No, but that's why it's so much repeated, and he brings it out, and he shows you what's important, and he takes us through, you know. So that's that. And like Prabhu said before, there's so many people there, you know, that, you know, millions of people come to watch, don't know, but this is the Sankirtan pastimes. They hear the holy name, they hear, you know, the pastime, the interaction of devotees, and because of that, they become purified, they become attracted. like that. But you see, in that, it's still the other things are there.
Yes.
It's not just numbers.
Yes.
Of course you're dealing with numbers. Like that. If all you see is numbers, yeah, then do numbers for Krishna. But you see, is then they come to the point where they can do numbers, and they're not they're absorbed in Krishna. Like that. So it's just one should appreciate the full range of what's going on. You know, otherwise you become too hard or you know, too soft, one or the other. But either one of them, you know, because the path is in the middle. Like that. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.